Mutations in this gene are numerically the most important risk factor for Parkinson's disease, conservatively increasing the risk 7- to 20-fold, some say 30-fold, for Parkinson's disease in those individuals who carry such a mutation. It's estimated that in the UK, at least 7, probably 10, perhaps more, percent of Parkinson patients have mutations in this gene, which numerically dwarfs all other potential genetic causes. And this has only recently been identified, but has already provoked really very important work in understanding the cause and developing potential treatments for Parkinson's disease. So let me perhaps come to the end of this part of understanding the cause of Parkinson's disease by coming back to the proposition that I mentioned earlier, that the process of Parkinson's disease begins quite early. And of course, in those with a genetic cause, it may begin in the uterus, in early fetal life, but certainly as the individual grows and develops into adulthood. During that time, there may be a so-called molecular prodrome. So changes within the metabolism of the brain, within vulnerable brain cells, that will ultimately lead to degeneration of those cells. So here is a period of the so-called prodrome, where things are not quite right, but there's certainly no disease. But ultimately, as that process continues, the cell, the nerve cell, may become damaged, but it's still able to cope. So there may be some part of that cell which is not quite working properly, but it's still able to function and connect with other brain cells to release dopamine. But things are now starting to go wrong. And then the cell can no longer compensate, and dysfunction begins. So the cell is now losing its dopamine, and the early clinical features of, in this case, Parkinson's disease begins to develop. And then you move to the phase of degeneration of the nerve cell. So now the cells are beginning to die. And it's this process of prodrome to degeneration that I think is an important one to contemplate, because it provides us with that opportunity to intervene at an earlier stage than we might have before in years gone by, when we thought that the disease might have begun quite quickly and progressed very rapidly and left us with only a short time to try and cure the disease. So let me move from that now to the so-called pathogenesis of Parkinson's disease. Now, when I talk about pathogenesis of Parkinson's disease, I'm referring to the biochemical metabolic changes that occur within the cell that evolve towards dysfunction and death. So these are the targets for future treatments. To understand this process is the key to developing a cure for Parkinson's disease. And indeed, other major neurodegenerative diseases and all other disorders that affect humankind. Now, I want to focus on a couple of the really exciting areas in this pathogenesis field that have advanced recently. So I'm not going to talk in any detail at all about mitochondria. A great deal has been done on mitochondria. They remain at the forefront of our research, and undoubtedly they're important, but I'm going to focus on a couple of other areas. And I'm going to bring you back to this picture that I showed you earlier from the German pathologist, who talked about the spread of the alpha synuclein, the spread of the Lewy bodies, the spread of the pathology in the Parkinson brain from the very earliest stages as the disease progressed and progressed yet further. So this idea of spread, of course, suggested to some that was this a real process of spread, or was it just a process of advancing disease and increasing involvement of the brain? And then some work came out from a number of centers in Europe and North America, which gave us an important clue. You'll know that in the 1990s, fetal transplants were attempted as a potential treatment for Parkinson's disease and were undertaken in the UK, Scandinavia, North America, where fetal cells from several grafts were taken and implanted into patients with Parkinson's disease, and those cells would develop into dopamine cells and improve the patient's Parkinson's disease. Now, we know that the clinical trials themselves failed in the sense that the patients weren't better than they could be, for instance, with medical treatment, or in placebo-controlled trials, there were no great improvements, except perhaps for the very youngest patients. But some of those patients who had fetal implants, of course, by nature, died some years later from completely different causes. And those that died 10 or more years after their fetal implant showed some very interesting changes. So here is a slide from a patient who died with Parkinson's disease 14 years after their fetal implant in New York. And her brain was examined. And the slide shows here, if you look at the arrows, collections of alpha synuclein as Lewy bodies and something that we call Lewy neurites. Now, that's not surprising. After all, this is the pathology of Parkinson's disease. So this was an entirely expected observation.